Hey, welcome to Table Noise Podcast. This is episode 3, the 420 special edition, which basically just meant that we got probably too high to be recording a podcast, but I feel like it was a good conversation. Real quick, we'll do a few plugs. We are now on iTunes, so please go to iTunes and find us in the iTunes store. Just search for Table Noise Podcast, and you'll find us there, and then please subscribe. And also, please comment on the episodes. iTunes pays attention to that, and it would help us out a lot as far as ratings were concerned if you comment on the episode. Also, please recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, chances are your friend that's sitting in his office by himself all day with nobody to talk to is probably going to enjoy it too. Or maybe somebody working out at the gym would enjoy it. Or maybe you just want to share it with your mom. Your mom might like it. Who knows? My mom probably would. So maybe your mom would too. Also, please follow me on Twitter. That is at Bradley Haltom. That's B-R-A-D-L-E-Y. H-A-L-T-O-M as in Mary, and keep in touch with me on Twitter. Also, please find my fan Facebook page. Just search for Comedian Bradley Haltom, H-A-L-T-O-M as in Mary. My last name phonetically is fucked up. I always have to spell it because people assume my last name is Halton with an N, and I always have to say M as in Mary every time I spell my name. Oh, god damn it, it's so frustrating. Anyway, this Friday, April 26th, I will be at Aussie Pub in Inglewood, Colorado, doing a show there. It's a free show. It's a bar gig. It will be fun, though. Aussie Pub is it's a sweet spot, especially for the comedians, because the room is small and it's almost always packed. It's a lot of fun. So please come and see me there. It should be a good time. And April 26th, 9 p.m., free show, Aussie Pub, Inglewood, Colorado. So on this episode, we didn't have really a guest, so Micah Carmack, my co-host, and I decided to hang out in his garage with his girlfriend, the lovely and fantastic Chelsea Worth, and we smoked a bunch of weed, and we talked about the world, and we talked about what concerned us, what fascinated us, what terrified us, what we find good, what we find bad. Basically, it was a bunch of stoners sitting around. Not stoners. I resent that term. I am not a fucking stoner. You know, stoners are, hey man, they're just burnouts, oftentimes. I would call myself an executive pothead. I work in an office, I go to work every day, and I do my fucking job. And then I come home, I take care of my kids, and after I put them to bed, I might smoke a little bit of weed to come down from the day, or if I'm writing material or recording a podcast or whatever. But, so, it was more along the lines of three people that enjoy marijuana, smoking it, and just kind of discussing life. I think it was a good conversation. I found it to be insightful and funny. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed listening to it, actually. I'm hoping that you guys will enjoy it as well. And here it is. Table Noise Podcast, Episode 3, the 420 edition. Hey everybody, welcome to Table Noise Podcast, 420 edition. I'm here with my co-host, Micah Carmack.
Hi.
And we are also here with Chelsea Worth, a good friend of mine. And we're hanging out in the Fundy compound, smoking fucking weed.
Hello.
Yep. So, I'm really glad to find out that you guys didn't go to Civic Center Park today.
Yeah, it was a bit of a bummer, as it turns out. I guess for those that don't know, we can't go 5 minutes without some sort of tragic occurrence.
24 hours,
to be fair. Yeah. This week has been kind of fucked up, and I'm waiting till Sunday to make the determination that it's all over for at least another week. But, yeah, five shots fired at the The 420 rally.
The 420 rally, right? Isn't one of the main arguments behind like 420, like in a comical standpoint? I can't tell you how many times I've heard a comedian say, you know, you should smoke weed, not drink, because have you ever seen a pothead get into a fight? And it just seems so cliche, and it's horse shit.
Yeah.
Because if a person's violent, they're going to be a violent person.
They're less likely to be violent if they're not drinking alcohol, but...
True.
Like a shithead's going to be a shithead no matter what drugs he's on.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And there's people out there who's going to ruin the party for everybody. And, it's sad, but what can you do? So.
Yeah, what do you do? I mean, you just kind of move on, I guess. I don't know. Understand that it's a thing that happens. And, like, what else can you do? Like, what are we going to do? The Boston Marathon's been bombed. What are we going to do? Hide?
Well,
people just go back into their houses and nobody runs anymore?
You can just congregate in a smarter way, though.
Sure.
I think it's one thing to say, we can't let the terrorists ruin things, but people are crazy, and they do crazy things when there's people in groups.
Right.
And one of the reasons why I told a lot of people I didn't want to go to that rally today is because I don't want to congregate in groups anymore. I'm not interested in it. I'm not even interested in putting myself in a position where some shit could go down just because there's a lot of people, and they happen to be vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah. The more people that you're with, statistically, the more likely it is that something fucked up's going to happen.
Sure.
It's just ratios. It's just basic. But, I don't know. It's just, it's awfully intense to me to think about, is the 420 rally supposed to be a peaceful event? Why'd you even have a gun there?
You know, this is exactly what happens when you take God out of weed. Precisely the thing that happens.
Praise Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Praise Jah.
It's seemingly goes against, you know, like you said, everything the rally stands for. But, you know, more broadly, it's just, doesn't it seem, I mean, isn't it astounding how often this type of thing seems to be happening anymore? Where, you know, people get together or... Whether it's annually, weekly, or, like, every day, like kids going to school, it's like nowhere is safe from these kind of tragic events that, you know, kind of, like, just seem to pop up in places that you never expected them to, you know? Like...
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. You want answers. You want somebody to be able to say, well, he was ideologically driven and he wanted to make a point. But more often than not, like, this stuff is just absolutely nonsensical. There's barely any reasonable explanation for it all. Sandy Hook, like, what possible reason could this insane person had that might have, you know, been satisfying or at least, you know, giving you some sort of like indication that he actually thought about it as opposed to just one day going in and I don't know. It's just
like he just did it.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. None.
Like he woke up and decided to have Honey Nut Cheerios that day instead of Frosted Flakes.
Yeah.
Like he just, yeah, I'm going to go do this. It didn't seem premeditated.
Just like a snap.
What kind of has frustrated me in along this whole thing, like, what was it, last week or earlier this week, where the Senate didn't vote it against any additional gun regulation at all? Absolutely not. It's not allowed to happen. Our constituents are hunters and gamesmen, and when you really don't hear from the hunters that they need assault rifles. But instead of coming to... figuring out whether or not they are going to come to a resolution on gun control, it doesn't seem like there's nearly enough influence being put on mental health.
Well, and you know, that's gonna come with time, I hope. You know,
needs to come first.
Not necessarily first. I'd say, I think some of the things that they put forward in these gun bill resolutions to be voted on, like, we're pretty reasonable. And I think, you know, when there's 90% of the United States population is in favor for something, and yet it can't even get a vote.
Was it 90% of
90%
of America was for additional gun, like,
no, just additional background checks? Just a background check.
Okay.
In every gun sale. Behind
that's pretty much was my position too. Yeah. Like, I agreed with the populace in that degree that
everybody agrees there should be a background check every time you purchase a weapon, hands down. Because, you know, there's too many of these open gun sales, like, you know, behind closed doors, on, you know, at small gun shows, and that's the kind of shit that, you know, a criminal can absolutely go get himself a gun, like, easily. So it's a no-brainer. You stop illegal guns. Well, they're legal. That's the problem.
You help to prevent them.
You help to prevent felons and crazy people. You make it more difficult. Guns.
What do you think, Chelsea?
I don't know. I think that these are there's a lot of subjects out there that don't have an answer. It's hard to sit around and have a conversation.
Well, you just sit around and smoke weed and pontificate about it.
Sure.
This would be sweet.
Sometimes you can dig yourself in a crazy hole, though. Like a crazy, endless loop of trying to figure out why people are the way they are. And that makes me wonder why, you know, wonder if maybe conspiracy theories and all this false flag shit, maybe if it just comes from a need for people to cope. Like, that's their coping mechanism, that they can't, they are so in that endless loop of, I can't believe somebody could do this, I can't believe somebody could wake up and want to go shoot people instead of wanting to eat breakfast or whatever.
Yeah.
So they know it has to be planned. It has to have some sort of meaning or reason behind it.
Yeah, I mean, people thrive and have built entire civilizations dedicated to lessening the chance for chaos. We're allergic to chaos with it. It you know, taken out of your comfort zone when things are, you know, kind of hit you in the face like that. Like, we've built cities on trying to maintain a level of comfort, and somebody comes in and disrupts that, and you don't know what to do with it, and you wanna reason it away. Like, when a tornado rips through, you know, your town, and when your fertilizer plant, local fertilizer plant, explodes with the power of an earthquake and rips apart your small little community, you want to point fingers, you want to blame, you want reasons to justify what happened, at least in a small way. But sometimes the shifting pendulum of fate swings the other way, and you have to be ready.
It's not always fate. It's always fake.
I mean, think it is chaos.
It's chaos to an extent, but there's always patterns there. Yes. There's always things. I mean, shit, there are towns in Oklahoma and Missouri and all these, Arkansas, there are places where tornadoes have hit there, like, for years.
Mm-hmm.
They know that a nasty big old storm's going to come through, but they keep fucking rebuilding. They know New Orleans is underwater, but they keep fucking rebuilding it.
Do you think that's because our species is stubborn?
Yeah.
Stubborn and I think like, no, I will dominate this
there's
land.
There's this crazy level of nationalism that people are willing to, and I get it. I get this whole thing of, like, I won't give up my rights for what I should have, for my constitution. I should be able to just go out and live my life, but you can't. The world's different now. It always has been, you know. You can't just walk around a city and expect things not go wrong. You can't. People are shitty. They're gonna mug you, they're gonna rape you, they're gonna murder you, they're gonna do horrible things. And you should be aware of that.
It's so, like, fucking gloomy.
It is gloomy, but it exists. And to not be aware and to not take that into consideration, I think is,
but there's precautions
so naive.
And ways to protect yourself. And when you see an entire city, you know, take these things into consideration but not do anything about them, you wonder where people's priorities are. And so I think that's what it's all about. You just have to think about solutions to preventing or at least lessening the damage of next time. Because there's always next time. There's always going to be another hurricane. There's always going to be another flash flood, another fire, another shooter, another bomber, another, you know, there's always going to be another. So what can we do to, you know, lessen that damage? And you know, like you said before, Brad, I think a lot of it begins with education and people who are mentally, you know, maybe a little more vulnerable than the rest of us have resources available to them. Because what else are you going to do? You going to leave it to society to raise society?
Well, it hasn't worked.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
But it hasn't worked. And we've been trying to have society raise society for thousands of years.
I mean, there's
just always going to be that anomaly. That's always going to happen.
And I think something should be there, you know, so that not only people are aware, but that people have a resource. Just like, you know, we have a grocery store, we have a police department. You know, why can't we set aside a little bit for mental health? And basically just life resources, like learning how to coexist with your fellow man without being a complete shitbag. Where do you take that class in high school?
That should have been
in high school.
I bet that's an AP class. Right? It should be. It should be. That's where you should learn humility and compassion and empathy.
Hopefully.
Well, and from your parents. Your parents are supposed to teach you that shit. Respect for life.
But doesn't it feel at that like weird, awkward, goofy age of, you know, your teens that, I don't know if this is a word, but prisonistic comes to mind. Like, things feel a little bit more like a prison because, you know, these tendencies that teenagers have and these urges that teenagers have aren't encouraged. you know, I think, you know, the teenage years are a perfect time to be, like, sent away to, like, a small island country where you just kind of, like, work in work camps and learn how to socialize and learn how to deal with people.
Have to hunt your own food.
And, like, learn life skills and...
Eat mushrooms.
And then they come back and
take ayahuasca.
And then
become a man.
They graduate and then they come back to the mainland.
Or a woman.
And they're reintroduced into society. And they don't say things like swag and YOLO.
Spend all their money at the club.
Yeah. And they don't think that Pitbull is awesome music. And, like, wouldn't that be amazing?
Get on that.
Oh, yeah.
Re-education system.
Yeah, what? There's something to be said for the fact that, like, a lot of these crazy assholes are just normal suburban kids, you know? They were so cool. They were so nice. They would never do this kind of shit. And there's something to be said for an environment that breeds that kind of person, that kind of angsty, hateful fucking person that is horrible, that is capable of doing horrible things. And suburbia is built like a prison. There's no third places. There's no other places for people to go out and be cultural and experience things. And for a teenager, that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be able to identify with something instead of taupe and lawns and white people and strip malls.
It's important, too, that you have to struggle.
Absolutely.
You have to learn to overcome hardships and come out the other side, maybe a little bit bruised up, but you learn some shit along the way. It's good for you, you know?
Yeah, not everything can be so easy all the time.
And that teaches humility. And that teaches caution and helps you to make deliberate actions in your life. It keeps you balanced, man.
Sure.
When everything's too easy, it gets too hard.
Yeah, but then, you know, there's always the struggle. I mean, I think there's two sides to those coins, to that coin where you talk about if you have it too easy, you never know, you know, true suffering, and therefore you can't grow as a person. I think if the opposite of that is true, like if you're constantly in the struggle, then, you know, how do you overcome that? You know, these odds where, you know, you can take advantage of other situations. You can't sometimes because you're locked into this mentality that you know, I'm always going to be down here on this level, and I can't rise above that. And that's a bullshit mentality, but I think it's there also. Just like there can be, you know, very endearing rich people that, you know, are concerned about, you know, all classes of people. I think there can be very poor people who will always stay very poor because, you know, they don't understand, or they don't have the capacity to reach themselves up. So, I mean, there's extremes in every class of person, but it just seems that the disparity between what the upper class... jump in here. That's not... That's yeah.
So, Chelsea, you studied geology, right? Or something similar to that?
Geography. Which encompasses... It's not a primary science, so it encompasses a lot of different things. It has, like, a lot of fingers and a lot of different things, which is why I think a lot of people get confused about what I study sometimes.
Yeah, because I've seen you study geological formations. Sure. And how the Earth spins. And
That's like the basics. You got to know how everything works before you can know what goes on top of it. It's like a study of layers, you know, from the core to space and understanding how those all interact with one another.
What's your favorite part as far as from the core to space?
What layer is my favorite? Yeah. I love people.
You love the people layer? The epidermis of the earth?
Yeah, I like the
the skin growth.
What is it? I'm just, God, I don't know words anymore. The anthropomorphic layer? I think that's right. Anthropology.
Yeah. I know that's a word.
Anthropomorphic layer, I think, is what it would be. It
refers to human-like.
I like knowing how we interact with things and how we change things. Because we change our environment so much. And also how all that works. Yeah, systems.
Do we do anything to improve the environment?
Yeah.
Or is it, well, I mean, well, like, if you were to weigh them, right? Like, if you were to put them on the scale, and you put down all of the units of measurement for bad things that we do to the environment, how we damage it, and then you do the opposite
right.
on the other side, you know, with good things, which one's going to weigh the most?
Well, if you look at it from this perspective, we, in order to live and to thrive, humans use the environment.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say what's good for the environment, then it's just the environment without us.
Aren't we kind of consuming right now?
We always consume.
As opposed to using? Like, we don't get a lot back.
We're the... But we are the only species that does take resources in order to propagate other species. Plants and animal.
True.
I mean... At least we're trying to kind of give back to what we take.
But the systems work with each other. Right. You know, a bird shits a seed. You know, seeds, bees pollinate. I mean, the systems all work with each other.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot of things that wouldn't work if we weren't involved. I think a lot of things would change, maybe.
There's a series on Sci-Fi, I think, that covers what changes the world would go under if human beings just ceased to exist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's like crazy. 1,000 days. Oh, it's, yeah, I think
1,000 years without a human.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was, man, the Earth looked really pretty.
It's really interesting how quickly you see the Earth reclaiming itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I like to think about with that is how many societies have come up and disappeared just by the environment swallowing them up. And we'll never know. We'll never know what happened with them. Because it's so hard to trace that shit back.
Well, we're finding along ancient coastlines that have been swallowed by the seas thousands of years ago already. You know, all these, like, civilizations that used to exist. And, like, the Mediterranean, off the coast of Japan. Like we're finding all the time new evidence that, like, you know, society reaches back farther than we ever thought it did. So it's like, can we even be sure when we started, you know, talking and walking upright? And
what if the Bible was true as well as evolution was true, and we found out that human beings didn't actually, like, evolve from anything so much as they were created from something millions and millions of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if we find out God's an alien, well, God's 100 million light years away. And from him, millions of years, like the dinosaurs and all that shit was 7 days. Like that expanse of time, because the farther out you are, the slower time is relative to Earth.
Right. So one.
So 65 million years go by between
one day
the
is an eon
the
or something.
Yeah. And they're both true. What if that were to happen? And I hope I articulated that well enough for people to understand, because I'm fucking high.
Well, yeah, everybody knows today's 420, right?
I'm fucking high. But yeah, what if everybody's right? Everybody's right. And the whole thing was just a big misunderstanding.
What if everybody just got along, man?
It's funny, because in the same vein, I was listening to Science Friday. Like you're recording
Sci-Fi.
Yeah, Sci-Fi. Cool. On the NPRs. And they were talking to some guy, I can't remember his name. He's like a primatologist or something like that, but he was talking about the bonobos and the chimpanzees and how close they are to humans and things like that. And it got me thinking about the possibility of a smarter species coming along and say, coming up to a bonobo or a chimpanzee and saying, "Hey, you're like me. We can kind of talk. We can kind of have conversations." Mm-hmm. And then purposely evolving that creature just by being involved in its existence and training it and teaching it things. So what if we're evolved by a slightly higher-minded creature? A closer monkey or something. You know, a couple million years ago, some monkey came up to us and went like, "You're a monkey too. I'm going to teach you how to talk." And then, you know, now we have cell phones.
I think you skipped a few things.
That's exactly how evolution works. Alphabet, cell phones.
I saw a baby monkey and a baby gorilla playing with each other and eating leaves, and I almost threw up because it was so cute.
It sounds adorable.
It was amazing.
Why do you think the Earth is swallowing people?
Damn, Chicago. That's
fucking
crazy. Run!
Right?
Get out of here.
That guy, wow. There was a guy in Florida. Did you hear about that guy in Florida who was sleeping in his bed? The Earth opened up, he fell into the Earth, and then the Earth closed.
And nobody's ever seen him ever again. Never. He's just gone.
I didn't hear about that.
But that happens quite a bit. That does happen quite a bit.
Oh my god. That is the scariest thought.
Oh my god.
The Earth literally just opening up and swallowing you.
But you know that's not just the Earth doing its thing. I mean, in some cases, there's faults and there's things like that. But a lot of this is us being assholes. Our great.
Digging and shit.
Yeah, well, that plus, you know, old wells, old mines, people just not building correctly.
150-year-old water mains.
Yeah, or say some dude just had this piece of land 150 years ago and he decided to dig a secret, you know, little thing, and it never gets surveyed correctly, and it got built on in the 50s whenever it was just like, just build a house and make some money, and now it's falling apart and it's swallowing people.
It's way more exciting to think that the Earth just
eating people. Right? But, it's easy to think that too.
But at least in, you know, Chicago, I mean, the flooding has been ridiculous.
Is Chicago flooding right now?
Yeah. Oh shit, yeah.
That, like, the street, I thought that's what you were talking about at the beginning of this. Like, the streets are, like, literally collapsing, and cars, it's just like left and right, are just being sunken into the ground.
That's fucking scary.
They're falling in on themselves. Oh,
like, to the so point scary. Where people are getting it on video. It's happening so often.
Oh my god.
Like, and I think one person was injured because he was like in his car when it happened.
I'd be surprised if more weren't. That's crazy. Yeah.
That kind of stuff scares me way more than crazy people.
You have no control over it. Because
that's truly random.
Right.
That is 100% random. I can stay out of bad situations for the most part. I do a pretty goddamn good job at it. But I don't know if my house is going to swallow me. That could happen. I don't know.
Very well could.
Yeah.
Hopefully you pay your municipality enough to know what's going on underneath your house. But if you pay no taxes, you're fucked.
Yellowstone could pop. We could all die. Just be vaporized. In an instant.
You could have an aneurysm
and the skies will blacken. And nothing will grow ever again.
At least not for a few 100,000 years. Until the Earth is sorted
what
shit
do we
out.
Do then? The
die.
Dead, right?
Die.
That's it.
Just
right?
Disappear.
You get to be You get to be a tourist attraction a thousand years from now.
The earth shakes us off like we're fucking fleas. Get off of me.
And we assume there hasn't been civilizations before us. You know what I mean? Like, to that extent. Like,
this is, no. I mean, this whole ride could have happened by like a thousand times already.
Totally.
And we just don't know it because
digital information could get vaporized.
Like, I mean, yeah.
Well, it decays.
Yeah, and then satellites out of orbit crash. Mm-hmm.
You think your iPad's going to look like an iPad 2,000 years from now?
All those things need maintenance. Yeah, they all need people to survive.
Especially if it's, you know, all, you know, covered up in dirt for a million years. Like, what are you... These civilizations, though, that built their shit out of stone, like, that's all we have to go on. And the oldest ones... You know,
Tebekli Tepe.
We have very little known about these people. I mean, compared to like what we know about the Romans, who kept great records, to, you know, modern times where everything's being recorded. Like, we don't have nothing on these guys.
I wonder what information was lost when the Romans burned down Alexandria.
Dude, that pisses me off. Like, I've got still like mad an about actual that. Rage about that.
Me
like
too.
We would have had flying cars by now, I think. Probably. I really do. Like, oh, some shit right. would be way cooler.
It's 200-year head start.
They probably robbed us of 1,000 years of evolution.
Yeah.
Well, just for
the sake of like knowing of all the civilizations that used to exist, like all the kingdoms and the different like cultures of people around the world that have existed over time, like we have little bits and tiny fragments and that of cultures that existed before 500 years ago, and that's just a small piece of that's a percentage.
Well, the only evidence you need of how important that was is how far along the Egyptians and Romans had come at that point.
Yeah,
and then that shit crashes a few hundred years later. The Dark Ages start.
Yeah.
For God knows how long.
Yeah.
You know, until, what, 1500s, I'd say, roughly? Like, until people were like, okay.
I think
okay.
it was 250 years or something like that.
There was all kinds of crazy shit going on.
I mean, pre-Sumeria, how the fuck do you keep track of how long your people have been on this earth and talking your language? Like, how do you, I mean, like, you're living in caves. You're scratching in the dirt. You're, you know... You're not doing a whole lot.
Or you wrote a whole lot of shit down and you sent it to Alexandria. And somebody burned it down.
No, I'm talking about, like, the first civilizations. Like, the first big cities. Like, you know, especially, you know, the cradle of civilization and, like, the African, you know.
Is that Ethiopia?
Yeah. I mean, like when the first cities were erected. Like, prior to that, how would you even know how long humans have been on the planet? By that time, like, you don't, like, so as far as you know, like, let's see, you're 27, so the world is 27 years old.
It's all relative to your eyesight.
Yeah, exactly.
Or your mindset.
It's all relative to how much science we can do to backtrack this thing. I read this interesting article that suggests that given enough years, and we're talking probably a couple of thousand, maybe not a thousand, but at least a few hundred years, we could potentially have the computing power to recall all of existence past. So basically, given...
Based on the future.
Based
or based on,
on
the
based
current
on the, based on what we know, and based on what we can know about existence as, you know, as humans around Earth and in this part of the solar system, we can take all that information. Computing power will be so powerful that it'll basically be able to replicate the past. So
replicate, but not revisit.
Not necessarily, no, not revisit. Okay. Not like time machine shit.
But it can write the history.
So we're talking about holodeck.
But it can pretty much
here.
Tell you how it went down at Wounded
sure.
Knee.
Yeah.
It can pretty much give you a short little like video of
that.
What the dinosaurs used to actually look like.
Buy that.
Just based on computer algorithm.
Yeah, based on like probably
that's intense.
The longest code you've ever seen in your entire existence.
Probably not even though. Really, I mean, you just need some sort of like, hey, this is the action going on. Here's this focal point. This is the person you're gonna be, and you've got a little representation of what's going on it's around a, you, and then the geography around you.
I think something in our being needs record. You know, we need to keep track. In other animals, we've been able to prove that rudimentary memory is there, and they have, you know, the ability to hold on to images. But we're the ones that, like, need to make it as permanent as possible. We're the ones that need to study it and, you know, take lessons from it. I think a lot of people, you know, when a lot of people talk about how they're afraid of, you know, they have these privacy concerns with everything being recorded now. Everybody's got cell phones, you know. All these damn musicians and comedy people don't want their material and their art broadcast for free over YouTube because it infringes on their rights. And it's like, that's how it's going. Like, everything is going to be recorded from now on. And now we're talking about, you know, throwing hundreds of dollars at Google so we can have some glasses stuck to our face that record every last minute of our day.
Those do look pretty cool, though.
They look awesome! And I cannot wait to play Angry Birds
on your Google glasses
while driving. It's going to be great.
I think that perception of protect my privacy, I think that's something that's going to just go away. I think people are going to be born into this world of Facebook and sharing your own information and data mining and all this crap, and they're not going to give a shit.
Do you think we're gonna hit that point where we're being invaded to so much so that it's kind of like that, if you don't have anything to hide, then there's nothing to worry about, right? That, you know, you shouldn't worry about us snooping in every aspect of your personal life, because if there's anything bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what if we all accepted that?
Yeah.
What if we all accepted that as, like, you know, as long as I'm being kept safe?
Right. I think there's a difference in generations. I think, you know, Generation Y, and especially the millennials, and, you know, kind of us in between. Like, we have this mentality of, live your life how you're going to live it. Smoke yep. weed, have tattoos, have
don't
piercings,
fuck with anybody, and just enjoy your life.
And if you're going to come to work, and if you want to come work with me, I don't give a shit what you do. Just come work, do your job, have fun, whatever.
Yep.
But we're having this clash with this older generation of people who say, cut your hair just right, present yourself just this way all the time. I think we're part of a new sort of mentality that's going to say, fuck you. I don't give a shit what you think about me. This is my life. I get to live it how I get to live it. Without your social constructs and all that bullshit.
Our rules are way more simple.
Absolutely.
Basically, don't be an asshole.
Absolutely, and I think that translates to this, like, world of information and...
Well, there's some people who have... It seems like they have problems not judging others on a base level. And that's, you know, I mean...
Well, you're told to all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything's got to play into how you view a person. But the superficial stuff, you know, you learn to get rid of that. You know, you're supposed to learn as a child, hey, don't call that person ugly. That hurts their feelings. Don't, you know, it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. Like, and as you grow up, you understand why. Because it doesn't matter. And you understand the concept. But some people just get stunted, it seems, and don't reach that point where it's like, oh, there's absolutely no reason I should care about the color of your skin. Because it doesn't fucking affect anything whatsoever. Some people just don't get there, and, you know, some people just emotionally don't grow up, and I think what we were talking about before with the ultra-violence we see in our society, you know, I think there's a certain amount of us just being aware of it now, but there's always going to be assholes, and they're always going to use violence as a means to an end.
One of the things that I experience that I think might be part of the problem would be that parents largely have been removed from the raising of a child. For most parents, both parents have to work full time and get very little time to spend with their kids.
Right.
In comparison to how often they're at school or with friends or on the internet or whatever it may be. So parents have kind of become removed, and if you can't guide your child, then you're allowing the public school system to offer guidance to your child and their friends, and that's not a good equation to raise a well-rounded human being.
Exactly. I mean, every kid should have a parent there to guide them through life, but what happens on the other side of that, of the extreme, when, you know, it is fully the parent's responsibility, and so, you know, you take away from the school system and you put it all on the parents. Well, what if that kid has some shitty parents and he or she gets, you know, left behind and falls through the cracks because there's no one there for him to go to school with and talk about, you know, his problems, or, you know, encourage him and be there for him and make sure he's fed. And, you know, what if we just made everything... I mean, that's who I feel for when we talk about cutting education and, you know, teachers don't deserve, you know, the pay raise that they're asking for. Like... What do you think they're doing? Do you think they're just there as robots? Do you want them to be robots?
Teachers?
Yeah, you personally. I'm just saying rhetorically. Like, I mean, do parents not want their teachers to have any sort of influence on their kids?
I think that, at least for me, I obviously want teachers to have a very positive influence on my kids. I want them to make my children excited about critical thinking and math and biology and space and all the beautiful things that you get to learn in school, right? Literature, all that, yeah. PE, yeah. Art, yeah. Everything. But it seems as though only certain teachers are really good at doing that, and other teachers, it's just a job.
Right.
They're just good at, like, explaining things to people.
Yeah.
But for the most part, with elementary school kids, everybody's jazzed up and real excited. Yeah, we're at school! Mm-hmm. And that helps. That helps a lot. I mean, some of the most influential people in my life have been teachers.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, if I were speaking for all parents, I would say, of course we want teachers to have an influence on our kids.
Yep. But, you know, the right wing always talk about incentivizing, you know, underneath the capitalistic society. So what's the incentive to do a good job if the pay raise you think you deserve, because let's face it, teachers don't make a lot of money, at least public school teachers don't. What incentive is there to go above and beyond for a classroom with that mentality? That, oh yeah, people, you know, if socialist principles have any say in this country, then it doesn't matter how much work I do. You know, people who don't deserve, you know, the fruits of my labors are gonna, you know, take away money from me and blah blah. So what's the incentive in that kind of scenario for teachers to do a good job if they're not gonna make any money? You're going to leave it entirely up to the ones that, you know, love the job? I mean, let's face it. We're going to...
Yeah.
I mean, we're fed by people who hate their job. We're serviced, you know, and we get our haircuts by people who hate their job all the time. Like, but if they do a bad job, does that mean we take away more money? No.
No. Of course not.
So I think that model doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah, I 100% agree. I think that I think it's so cliche, but I think it's silly that we pay people millions of dollars a year for throwing a ball, and that a teacher barely makes $36,000.
Yeah, and not to say that the two industries are related.
They're not, but when it comparing just the large amounts of money, you know, exactly. So even some of your six-figure jobs,
it's priorities.
If you're a lawyer, you had to have countless teachers.
Well, if you really want to break up what makes money and what doesn't, it's what's paid with public funds and what's paid with private funds.
Right.
You know, you're never going to make as much money in the public sector as you will the private.
Right.
No matter which job. I mean, it's direct correlation.
Right.
Always going to be more money. And that's because of profit, and that's because of greed. And I think that's where capitalism does fail, because there's no moral sort of stopping point. There's no checkpoints for, is this the right thing to do? Is this really what we want to do? That's I'm not necessarily a socialist, but I am in the way of the government and what we think is good for things should be over business. And that's why we have regulations to begin with. It's just they're so, people can't get over themselves. They think that they need to be equals, and they don't anymore. With globalization, it's too scary what people can do to other people. I mean, you look at Monsanto, and there's so much shit said about them, but at the end of the day, they've crippled entire communities.
Countries.
And, yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, I mean, you can look at it in that scale, too. However you want to look at it, but they've fucked people over. Yeah. Same thing with tons of other companies, and it's not right anymore, and we need to figure out some global regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Because they should be equal, and right now they aren't. You have a global economy, and you have local governments.
Yeah.
People are afraid of that label. Public versus private. People willingly give money to private while fighting any money that public might require them give. You know, like, if it's taxes from your government to go towards schools and roads and police departments and
the shit that we've deemed necessary, the shit that we should pay money for,
yeah,
because
people that think,
it protects us.
People think those taxes should never go up because the police force should never require any more than what they're already taking. Public schools should never require more than they're already taking.
We should still be driving on the roads paved in 1952. I mean,
meanwhile, private, you're voting with your wallet every day. You know, you're voting for McDonald's. You're voting for, you know, Shell Oil. You're voting for all these things that, you know, because you either don't know any better or you can't be bothered to change your lifestyle, or it's just, you know, there's not enough invested into the proper way to do things, so you just deal with it. You just deal with processed food. You just deal with fucking, you know, things that run on fossil fuel. You just deal with, you know, just how society is set up, because, you know, the infrastructure's already in place. Let's just run this oil thing into the ground.
It's so much more complicated than that. Oh my god, it's so complicated.
Yeah.
It just has so many layers that, like, you'll start trying to figure out how to navigate kind of around the system, but still participate.
Yes.
You know, just like, I'm only going to buy organic food, I'm going to drive a fucking bicycle, and, like, yeah, it'd just be in harmony, I'm going to go vegan. Like, you're trying to navigate
crazy
around the system, yeah, and before you know it, you're not the same person. Like, you don't even remember why you tried to navigate out of the system in the first place.
Yeah.
But just, you're no longer participating.
Right.
You're external of it.
This, like, level of eco-guilt that has almost become,
yeah,
like, a weird form of Catholicism. People pay tribute in the form of, like, carbon credits. And it's crazy.
Fucking pisses me off, to be
it's
totally
crazy.
Honest. Well, that's why it pisses me off. Not
yeah
because of the argument itself, but because the way the argument is being presented.
Yeah.
You're not going to win that way. You're not going to win that way.
Absolutely not.
I'm surprised gay marriage or civil unions were passed with the way that the production of the protests
absolutely
goes.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you want to be taken seriously, you have to act serious.
Yeah.
If you want to really change the environment,
well,
you have to be, like,
you have to take part.
You have to
in
be
the
kind
system
about it. Like, just be like, listen, guys, I know, man, that steak is fucking delicious. I know. But did you know that steak was only fed with, like, corn? And did you know they're feeding them candy corn now?
What?
Because there's a corn... Yeah, there's a corn shortage. Because there was a drought last summer. There was a corn shortage. A ton of our corn that the country produces goes to
oh,
feeding
yeah
beef.
Yeah.
And they were out. So they fed them candy corn.
Yeah, because they used it to make candy.
Is there some sort of connection between it actually having corn in the name? Like, why did they choose candy corn?
I like to imagine...
What the fuck is that all about?
I like to imagine...
It's the most processed corn in it.
This was made of high fructose corn syrup. I like to imagine that some hillbilly was like, well, we're all out of corn. Hey, there's candy corn. Let's try that.
And just mark it
and with the like
a red marker, cross it out.
Cross out the candy part. And then he fed it to the cow, and he's like, well, Ted, the cow's still alive. Fuck it, feed the rest of them candy corn, Billy. All right.
I really want to know.
And then it just caught on. I think it just caught on. I was like, oh, we need an alternative to feed this animal. Yeah. This has corn in the name of it.
Yeah, people got to be more connected with their fucking food, especially when it comes to like processed meat. God damn it!
I at least know that my meat's processed, okay?
And that's good enough. I can't afford it.
It's not good enough. It's not good enough. But I can't afford organic beef.
But I don't know. But there's so many stupid things that we do as like Americans. Like we eat too much protein. We eat way too much meat. It's like completely disproportionate to what we should be eating and what our bodies can deal with.
One serving of meat a day.
What's a serving for you? The fist size, 4 ounce, like standard thing?
No, like a 6 ounce chicken breast.
That's a lot. Like, that's a lot of meat.
I throw fucking weight around sometimes.
Sure.
And I'm a big dude. I need the protein.
Absolutely. But I think...
I like chicken, goddammit.
Right, but you're also a white bread American dude, and you've grown up with Hungry Man dinners, and the portion sizes in your head. And
the portion size is all fucked up. My
totally
whole family's fat
up.
As shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just how it rolls, right?
Sure, like, of course.
I have more weight than I want, but that's the world we live in.
Well, that's the American world. Like where we've grown,
I guess that's how it is.
We just force it. We want so much food all the time because it's something you're supposed to enjoy, and it's a luxury that not a lot of people are affording
in other parts
of the world. You know, so we look at this bounty of food, and you know, we just go crazy on it. We just attack it, and we totally take it for granted too. Because, I mean, if there was some sort of like, you know, if we lived in North Korea, we'd understand what, like...
hunger is?
Well, how much food we really
stripping
have.
Stripping a tree for its bark to eat? I mean, that's that level of hunger. That's it.
Everyday survivor man in North Korea.
Holy shit.
The reason Kim Jong-un is the only fat person in there.
Yeah. Him and his generals.
Just, like, absolute income disparity there. Yeah. It's horrible. That's a horrible place. That sucks. But I'm fat shit, and I'm tired of being fat shit, so I've been like, hey, I need to understand, like, why I want to eat a steak and potatoes every day, like, all the time, and that's all I want to eat. And you start to kind of look at, oh, other society don't eat like this, and this is what my body does require. Oh.
But if they could, don't you think they would?
Sure.
Because it is delicious.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And so is laying in bed, and so is masturbation till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
like, all these things are incredible, but they're not going to make me a better person. So I should probably limit them to an extent.
I think as long as you reflect.
Control them.
You spend some time reflecting upon all of your decisions that you made that day, I think it'll.
Well, they're survival impulses. I mean, that's what it is.
Monkeys.
Survival impulse.
We're just monkeys. Yeah. We're fuzzy
like
monkeys.
We have to take care of ourselves, whether, you know, it's with food or, you know, we have this weird impulse to like, you know, oh, that's why I hear that a lot from a lot of fat people. Well, you never know when you're going to eat again. You better
heard that from a fat person. That's awful. That's an awful thing to say.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think many fat people I've met have been that worried about when they're going to eat next.
They'll be fine. Man, that is such an insensitive thing to say.
I'm fat shit, so I don't have a problem saying that shit. Like, I've been uncomfortably fat in my life. And you have to get over that shit, goddammit. It's ridiculous. Just get over that shit. Figure it out. It makes me sad. Like, I know some people have physical problems with trying to lose weight and things like that.
Yeah.
And I get that. I really do. But I think a lot of the people that say that don't have that problem. I think they're just they just can't get over their shit. I don't know what it is. You know, for some people it might be that they're just too sad to get out of bed, or they just really like playing video games, or they've never experienced that hardship, or they've never pushed themselves to like a limit, or nobody's ever pushed them. Their life has just always been too comfortable, so they don't understand what pushing yourself really is. And
taking care of yourself, working for your meals and
or a goal even
or, yeah or just
like I know people that just can't meet goals because they're not even together to that point, and that's hard. Sad.
It's really hard.
I know.
I have such a hard time with that. I'll do something real well for 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm like, fuck this. It'd just be horrible to my body. just awful.
And that's cool if that's what you need.
Fuck this. I'm eating wings for a week. God damn it.
Abuse yourself.
But don't eat wings for a year straight and then be sad because, you know, you're 450 pounds.
No, I mean, you see it happening.
Yeah.
You can see it happening. You're like, oh, wow. You look in the mirror in the morning. Oh, wow. I'm looking kind of chunky today. All right. Well, salad for lunch it is.
Yeah.
And then the next day you go back to good times.
As long as you can enjoy life good now times. Again. I mean,
yeah, if you're happy.
Yeah, I mean, you have to at least enjoy it.
If you're fat
yourself.
Shit and you're happy, go for it.
Yeah.
Good for you. You're living your life the way you want to live it.
Exactly.
But if you're fat shit and you're sad and you don't work out and you're sad, then shut up. go for a walk. Damn it. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
That's so mean.
It is mean. Whatever. If somebody sees me in the future and I'm super fat shit, tell me to shut up and go for a walk. Cause
shut up and go for a walk.
We just gotta start talking to each other. We gotta stop this whole, well, I can't get involved in your life. We gotta start going, hey, I've assessed my relationship with you and how I feel about you, and I care for you, so I'm gonna have a conversation with you. And I'm not gonna try and impose my anything on you. I just wanna make sure you're cool and that you're happy. And that you don't need somebody to talk to.
Yeah, because sometimes everybody needs a little encouragement, but, you know, are unwilling to or unable to ask for it. And, you know, that's you want to be there for people who you care about and let them know what the fuck is up. But when you cross that line between just, like, being a total asshole.
Sure.
You know, like, oh, man, I care about you because you're fat shit. I don't want you to have diabetes, please.
And I could, I'm saying fat shit here, but I could also be saying like terribly depressed or drinking yourself to death or whatever it might be. That somebody's like,
unhappy.
However, their unhappiness and weirdness manifests itself.
That's the core of it. You don't want to see people unhappy. And I know from experience that being overweight isn't one of those, you know, badges of courage that fat people like to wear around a lot. I'm like, oh, I'm fat and sassy and I'm proud of it. And, you know, thicker,
you know what?
And quicker. And
if you're obese and you like yourself that way and you understand the consequences that come along with that, good for you.
Yeah, good for you.
Enjoy
for
your
you.
Life.
I'm not gonna say nothing to you.
Have fun.
But the vast majority of people who are overweight don't like the fact that they, you know, they breathe real heavy when they go up flights of stairs. They hate that. Right. They wish that, you know, they weren't afraid of heart attacks. And, you know.
And I think when Chelsea says fat shit, it's because that's how you feel.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you feel gross and not good about yourself, you feel like a fat shit. Like, I've called myself a fat shit before.
Yeah.
Not in a judging way. Just like that.
Descriptive of how I feel today.
Yeah.
But there's nothing nice about it, too. So there's a level of psychological warfare you have to kind of play with yourself to get you out of that mode of like, oh, this is just who I am and I'm comfortable. And like, no, you're not comfortable. If you want to change, you have to shift from just acceptance to, oh, no, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable at all. I'm gonna fight this like a goddamn Marine. And I'm going to start running through tires, fighting dragons with swords and shit, tops of mountains, lightning.
Which, holy shit, that was the coolest commercial ever.
Was
the first
it?
Time
it
was, I saw it, oh my
was
god.
I was like, oh.
I want to be a Marine.
I thought it was a video game.
I did too.
I was like, oh, it's a video game. I want this game. Mom, look at this game. oh, it's Marines. I think it was meant to look like that.
Absolutely, it was.
I thought it was so cool up until he transformed into his Marine outfit, and he had the little hat and the jacket, blue jacket, and the white pants. I'm like, oh, now that doesn't look cool anymore.
What if they marched in chainmail? What if that was like their uniform? It was like they dressed as knights just for like marching drills and shit. Just like that's, and they had long swords instead of rifles.
Oh, no shirt, bulletproof.
They do
vest,
carry little sabers though.
Yeah. I think all Marines swords should have just a vest on, no shirt underneath, and then a cape attached. The combat helmet.
What the fuck? What if they have a tiny cape for the combat helmet?
Oh, a cape for your helmet. So your neck don't get sunburnt.
That's ridiculous.
I'm gonna laugh myself to the bathroom.
All right. Table noise.
Table noise.
Table noise.
That's why we call this show Table Noise.
Right.
Well, we're at about an hour. You want to fucking wind this thing down? Or did you have anything else you wanted to discuss?
I like abrupt ends.
Do you like abrupt ends?
Just press end right now. Dare it now.
Should I do plugs and stuff?
Oh, sure. I mean,
there's nothing going on for me.
God, you know, well, it's because you gotta move to Los Angeles, my man.
No, it's because I need to fucking participate, my man.
No, you just gotta go get yourself a TV show, just straight up. You just move. Just that's how it works.
If I move,
that's
right?
How it works.
Well, when you get off the plane, right?
People you have a see how tenacious meeting? You are because you packed up and moved your family of four.
Five. There's five of us.
Well, I don't include you.
Right.
Yeah, they award that there.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've just been, it's, balancing life's hard.
It is. Especially when you have to dedicate so much of your day to this job. If given the chance, most people can do their job in like 4 to 5 to 6 hours.
But I wouldn't get paid for 8.
Exactly. But I mean, if it just worked different, like if you just got paid more, if you get compensated more for less time but more efficient time, I think that'd be worth it.
You know what, I work pretty hard.
All right. Well, I don't
a lot of time
but...
to waste. it just seems like there's just a lot.
Saying, like, a day job really takes away from your day. It's so much of it.
Yeah.
It's so much of it dedicated to, like, you know, somebody else's menial tasks that they, you know, set for you. I mean, unless you work for yourself and then bravo, it's like, God bless you, you're gonna get out there and do it all for yourself. But most people work for somebody. They have somebody above them barking orders at them all day long. And then you're just stuck there dreaming about how you're going to do the backyard this summer.
And then you die.
and then you get an RV for the last 5 years of your life.
Just go explore.
You go to Sonoma, have some wine, and you die.
Oh, it's such a sad existence. Oh, that's so sad. That's how it goes, I guess.
Hopefully in the meantime you meet some interesting people and have some interesting restaurant experiences with your wife. Or you sit there silent after church.
Do you guys surf Reddit? While you're at
dinner? Nah. Occasionally.
Did you see this?
When the mood's just right.
You know what I don't get is why I still go to Facebook at all.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm still.
Because there's a mild addiction there. Yeah. Just seeing that little blue bar.
Yeah.
Being connected.
Ooh, notifications.
Do I see red? Ooh.
Fiddle dee dee, yeah. Message for me.
Feels so sad. special.
And it's always so disappointing. It's never anything you really want. It's like, you know, blah, 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 commented on your picture. Nice. All right, I'm going to like that. I like that.
You know what? I always think it's funny when somebody's like, well, I was diagnosed with cancer, and now I have to go to the doctor, and they'll just talking about all this horrible shit. Yeah. And they're like, wish me luck. And then somebody likes the comment. They're like, oh. That's the wrong move, right? Like, that's the wrong move, isn't it? You're supposed to like that?
Like, that seems a little backhanded. Literal, like...
I know, but well, they leave a comment.
Graham died today.
Just leave a comment like, and just be like, that sucks, but I really hope you turn everything turns out okay.
There should be a sympathy button.
I think it just takes it too far when you start to, like, analyze fucking interactions with people, like, social interactions on... something as narrow as Facebook, where your two options are liking it to show that you acknowledge it or saying something and being like, sorry you have cancer. Send, and that's...
You should be able to dislike your... the comment.
I've dreamt of that, but it would become a very different place.
It would become Reddit.
Yeah, exactly.
This was status updates.
I got negative 13 likes on these.
People I'm so hate depressed.
Had tacos for lunch. Downvote.
Oh,
even in an anonymous forum like Reddit, I prefer just to be that kid that stands back and watches.
Like, I just
worry. I've never posted anything.
The lurker,
just
like,
yep, I'm just, you gotta look crazy. I'm just watching you.
Sometimes
this
you
is
know,
like a crazy place.
Occasionally, you do want to jump in, but then you have to kind of stick with your guns. Like, you know what? No. I don't. I can't just create an account just to talk about what my favorite video game music is.
I don't want to waste the resources of time
exactly.
on arguing with people that.
I don't want to have a conversation about this. Yeah. I want you people to.
Yeah. I just want to. I'm going to browse your comments real quick. Oh, yep. All right. Next picture. All right. This is boring. Subreddit. Gone wild.
CakeFarts.com.
I can't remember when the internet became a social tool more than an information tool for me. I don't even remember that transition, but I spend more time socializing or just absorbing media on the internet than I do looking up how to build a birdhouse or whatever the fuck I need to do.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to look up how to build a
absolutely.
Warehouse, you totally could.
Absolutely. But at some point, the primary objective of the internet, at least in my head, switched from informative to social.
It was organic. That's what people wanted to do.
You know, most people, what building a birdhouse for most people devolves into once they actually get online to like do the research, they end up on Pinterest for 4 hours looking at other people building birdhouses.
I'll look at the supplies and I'll be like, nope.
Oh wait,
so like, I gotta buy all this lumber.
I have to go to Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. I don't even know where do
no,
I get.
I'm not doing that.
I can't Amazon
the
piece bundle of
tail?
Wood. I want to Amazon everything for my house.
Can you Amazon drywall?
Yeah. Probably paying a bitch in shipping.
Probably.
But hey, man, I got a tiny car.
Yeah, screw that. I don't do anything.
What if
I don't
you
do any of that?
We
shit.
should do a blog where we renovate an entire house using Amazon.
And just instructions from the internet. Take before and after photos. Most of them would be complete shit.
Like you don't leave your house for 2 months.
There'd be like a lot of oops photos. Like, you know, people with legs through the ceilings or flooded basements.
Just our hands up in a shrug.
Just, Squirrel-a-doo.
Can't send it back because where am I going to find a box big enough? Oh, a shoulder one. You can order a refrigerator box from Amazon, right? Just an empty one.
Do you think you can order a refrigerator box from Amazon?
Let's Google that. Right?
I'm going to Google that. Let's go to the tape.
Clickety-clack.
You can totally order a shipping. You can order a refrigerator box.
Fuck yeah. See, you can order anything online, and then the poor male people have to give it to you.
Have to figure that shit out.
Watching the postman like delivering my kettlebells, I felt so bad. It's like a 75-pound box, and he's just like trying to get up to the fucking door.
Should I meet him at the street? Nah.
I was at home. I was at home. Okay. I was at work. He just puts it down in front of my front door. Fuck you. Fucking asshole.
You best believe I'm going in the back and getting that little tiny hand truck. Fuck you. I'm leaving it in the bushes.
Just kicks it out of the fucking van as he's driving by.
Stairs? Not today. Not today, man.
Oh, man.
Alright. Push-up contest.
Go. No.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, my God, Micah, you're so good at this.
That's amazing. Can you do it one-handed?
Holy shit.
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, five, my God. Six.
Can you do the push-up claps? 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm gonna use my actual hands.
6, 7.
Too lazy to use my hands.
Too lazy to use your hands.
Well, I had to put my beer down.
To do these incredibly difficult push-ups.
So strong. One of the greatest things about having kids is they think you're so strong. They really do. They think that you're so strong. Like Maddox thinks I'm like Superman or something. So, hey, Dad, lift this car. He doesn't actually say that.
He had you lift the car, huh?
I did it.
You had to summon that crazy mom strength.
Yeah. You get it once. You get one time to use it, and I used it to show off for my kid. So
you spent your token.
Hopefully they're safe forever. But yeah, I had each kid sit on my arm today. I lifted my arms up like that. like I was like showing off my muscles. But they're light. But they think they're like, wow, Daddy, you're so strong. It's nice.
Showing up for children.
Yep.
Want kids.
And then you can beat them up. That's fun.
They only have to do anything wrong.
Well, no, you do it for fun. You don't do it as a punishment. You do it because they don't really like it that much, and it's fun for you. And
they're smaller, whatever. Weaker.
Just gotta knock squishier. Them into pillows.
Boy's like, Dad, why are you punching me? It's like, because I want you to know I can. just keeping you honest, that's all.
It's for the shit I know you're gonna do.
Sometimes you fart on them. That's fun. It's so rude, but yeah. It's so much fun.
You do that with all your loved ones, really.
Yeah.
Anybody, your friends, yeah. Your spouse.
Just mark your territory.
Cup the fart, hand it to him.
I do it on my dog all the time.
Here, I got you a present.
That's how my brother showed me he loved me.
I used to hold Derek down and fart in his fucking mouth.
That's a hell.
Eat it.
That's a hellish experience. Yeah, just sucking up somebody else's methane.
Why do I feel so lightheaded? Y'all got it, bitch. She watched Doctor Who, Chelsea.
I can't get into it. I try so, and I'm such a nerd for anything BBC, and I'm such a nerd for just nerd shit.
I have a hard time believing that you can't get into it.
I've watched old episodes, I've watched new episodes. I've probably watched close to 20, 25 episodes. But it never really pulls me in.
Really?
Torchwood kind of has, but I stopped watching it because there's so many references to Doctor Who that I don't pick up on, so I feel like I'm missing out on shit. I don't care, but yeah. I've tried a lot with Doctor Who. It's just doesn't draw me in.
Sorry.
There's something. I know, me too, because like, I understand all the cultural references and things for the most part, and it's like, it's fun for me too, but.
Like, I want you to be part of that community, because it's. I love the inside jokes are fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of just cool stuff. I mean, like.
Nerdy jokes.
Just can't get into it. I thought about trying to restart it again, but started watching Star Trek instead, because I need a little bit of that in my life.
Yeah. Space exploration's fun.
It is. Well, I got tired of watching shit like Downton Abbey and Once Upon a Time. Like, I need some sci-fi. Every once in a while, I feel a shift.
I want to check out Defiance.
Defiance?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's the game and television show.
For Star Trek? You heard of that?
No. It's its own standalone.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, it's a show on sci-fi. And then, right alongside it, they made a game that's a massive... It's an MMO.
Oh, shit.
It's a shooter. It's a shooter MMO.
Wow. I feel like I've missed out on something. Wish we had that station. Wish we had any channels. We just get on online now, which is kind of interesting. Because I still feel very connected, but... No. I like that. Do you like not having cable?
Yeah. I honestly don't know why I would go back to it. Well, until HBO figures out their own shit, but, you know, don't tell anybody, but we're getting it for free with HBO Go. The friend of ours is letting us use their codes. So.
I have HBO Go. I'm not letting you use my code, for the record. Now the CISP was passed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't totally know the details about that. Do you know the details about that? No. I just know it sounds ominous.
Yeah.
I can't. And if it's anything like the previous bills that they were trying to pass, then I don't want it around.
Yeah. It's about to get a whole lot less piratey around here, for sure.
Whatever.
It's changing. I don't really pirate, but if I were to, I wouldn't pirate the stuff that I respect.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, most of this stuff that I've, you know, had people pirate for us is stuff you can't find anyway. That's not on DVD or, you know, like...
Like DuckTales.
DuckTales. Like, I
can't buy DuckTales on DVD.
Yeah.
So I'd like to download it.
Yeah, DuckTales. You know what I've been looking for is a decent copy of King Ralph. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I love it.
Except John Goodman.
Yes, John Goodman. King of England. That's so stupid. Yeah. But I love that movie.
I was thinking about The Three Amigos the other day.
You ever see that movie? Yeah. It's
a great movie.
So short. And...
So bad.
Oh, it's so
good. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was so bad.
I never liked it when I was growing up.
One of my favorite comedies is... It's like in my top five is The Jerk.
Sure, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Absolutely love The Jerk. When he found his rhythm, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Oh, that's hilarious.
Steve Martin.
Did you ever see The Toy?
The Toy?
With
Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
He's that
little rich white kid.
Yeah.
He's his toy. He's
I
a slave.
Want him. Bitch, I'm not a slave.
Are there any good movies coming out?
Oblivion looks amazing, but
which one is
Tom
that?
Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah. I really want to see
it
that.
It looks because fuck, I totally forgot which the director, the guy who's doing it. Like, he's only this is his second movie. What was the first one he did? God damn it.
Honestly, I don't even know who the director was.
Not District 9, but...
No, that's... that's
something else.
The guy that's making Elysium. Mm.
I can't remember.
I can look it up. Joseph Kaczynski is the director's name.
What is the name of the movie?
He directed Tron.
That's right. I remember.
Yeah, that movie looks cool. Say what you will about Tom Cruise as far as his religious preferences go, but he's a fucking badass actor.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing run set, that's for sure.
And as long as he's in an action movie, although in Vanilla Sky was really good.
Yeah.
That movie fucked me up for a while.
I've heard he's a really nice guy. I mean, he's not like he has a bad rap for being an asshole or anything. He's generally well liked by people, so I mean, whatever. Believe whatever crazy shit you want to believe, but he does a pretty good job when it comes down to making a movie. I loved his role in Tropic Thunder, simply because that's, you know, just of who he is, being playing that guy. Such a minor thing, but goddamn it, was it funny.
He was the manager, right? Mm-hmm. Like the producer or something?
Yeah, the fronter of the money.
Such a good movie.
He went
full retard.
Full retard.
Never go full retard.
Didn't get enough credit as it needed.
They were all so good in that movie.
There's very few movies that just thinking about it can make you laugh about it. Hamlet 2 is the same way for me.
That movie's when I watched that movie, it was like, did they actually make a sequel to Hamlet before I had seen the movie? And then I watched the movie and I was like, this is ridiculous. This has nothing to do with Hamlet. I don't know.
That movie's so amazing. God.
It's good.
Jesus had a cool swimmer's bod.
Yeah, so that one in Tropic Thunder.
Let's watch a movie.
So you can fall asleep.
Take a nap. I'm ready to go.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm going to go home and play Bioshock till 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Sounds or I might cool. just go to bed. Probably just go to bed.
That sounds awful.
I might go read.
What are you reading?
Tolstoy.
Fuck no.
Nobody wants to read Tolstoy anymore.
Am I wearing a fedora?
Smoke a pipe.
No, it's a movie by Graham Hancock. Tale of Two Worlds? No, that thing of Tale of Two Cities. What's it called? I don't know why I can't remember.
It's because the internet is your brain now, so...
Using a Kindle? Or actually reading real books?
I read real books.
Is that expensive?
I get them from the library.
Nice.
Entangled, the Eater of Souls.
Ooh.
It's good. Wow. It's about two girls that live on the opposite end of the human timeline.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
Yeah. So one... One lives, like, with Neanderthals and Homo sapiens. Mm. And the other lives in, like, 2012. And is, like, daughter to rich parents.
Wow.
They end up meeting each other on the astral plane because they're special for some reason. And there's a demon that's trying to consume souls. And they're trying to stop him. From opposite
looking
ends.
Awesome. Huh. That sounds awesome.
That does sound pretty cool.
They get to each other using ayahuasca and mushrooms.
Wow.
Freaking awesome.
There's like some spirit lady that they communicate with, and she. The astral plane's really weird.
That sounds awesome.
They said something about like the ground where it would normally be grass is covered in flowers that squish and smell like skunks when you step on them. And so everywhere you go, it just smells horrible, but everything's really pretty. It's just weird shit. The trees are birds. Trees are giant birds that try to eat you.
So why are they described as trees instead of just giant birds that try to eat you?
Because they look like trees.
They're rooted to the ground. And...
Yeah.
Huh.
And they're the branches with all the leaves on it. That's just their feathers tucked.
Just imagine like a flamingo almost. Yeah. Wow.
All knotted and bark and a tree.
Wow. That's crazy. That sounds cool.
It's pretty intense. It's fun.
I didn't know he wrote novels. I thought he wrote.
It's his first and only so far.
Yeah. Who's that again?
Graham Hancock.
Oh.
The atheist and psychedelic explorer.
Fuck yeah. Sounds cool.
You should totally go do ayahuasca in Brazil or someplace.
What?
Let's go do ayahuasca.
Stop recording.